And speaking of all things technology-based and robotics especially, we'll welcome to the studio Dr. Christina Chalmers. Chris is the...
Thank you.
The audience is going wild. Standing room only. Now, Chris is a lecturer in STEM education at the Queensland University of Technology. She operates out of the Kelvin Grove campus. She's also the Robotics at QUT project leader and also the director of the first Lego League tournament at QUT Caboolture as well. So a fascinating time. It's and as we said, we do have the association with the surname, so there's some connection there. This is our 10th show, Carlos, and the first time Chris has been in. She's not a publicity person. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
At last.
At last.
That is good. Now, Chris, what we want to do, our audience is very interested in the STEM and robotics, and we're hearing that all the time. So my first question to you, is it the flavour of the month or is it something bigger, much bigger?
Good question, Wayne.
Thank you. We worked this out last night.
Well, robots are sort of part of our future. The way we're looking at it now, there's quite a few robots in workplaces starting to dispense medicine, milking cows, building cars. Also in agriculture as well, QUT's got a number of robotics projects, big robotics projects that are working with the farmers. And so the possibilities for the future with robots is quite interesting.
Oh, it is. It's fascinating. You know, we're just going to digress for 2 seconds because when you met, and Chris is used to me interrupting, but I saw a fantastic program on robotics and milking cows. Like, you know, in the old days where farmers used to have to get up at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning, 7 days a week, they now have, and this is in England, go on YouTube and Google it, people, they have robotic systems where the farmers actually don't do anything.
Oh, you're kidding
the
me.
Cows, because the cows are creatures of habit and very intelligent, know they need to get milked because they've got full udders.
That's right.
Go into the whole system by themselves, and then they've got robots that give them massages and back rubs, and but they line up. The cows just line up and wait to get milked, and then they walk
How
into their
do
milking.
They
use all
to?
Sensors, little robot sensors that come out and know where the teats are, and just go for it. Very relaxing, very stressed. They then come out of that and pop over to their massage machine, and they get a massage, and
of
then
course.
Walk out. And the technology is that the people who, the dairy farmers, do an analysis on the milk straight away and know exactly where production is, quality, all the rest, and they can regulate things. Mind-blowing. Chris, back to you.
I was going to say, that is amazing. We have students in schools actually designing and building and programming robots like that.
Cool.
We're not talking about the big cow milking robots here, but small educational robots at school. So the kids are actually coding these robots. They're building them, they're coding them. So they're telling the robots what to do by step-by-step commands. So they're learning all these different skills as they go through as well. So very much teaching them about jobs of the future, but also getting to think a bit creatively and a lot of hands-on activities.
Yeah, I think hands-on is incredibly good. I know you do a lot of stuff with Lego robotics and that. And I think kids and parents are brought up with Lego, and it's just that such a creative space to be in. And now we can program and use technology.
Definitely. And you can say you, because I know you do volunteer a lot for the activities.
I do.
Okay, one of the big pushes with the robotics in schools, especially now, you'll hear a lot about it this year as we go through. Queensland Government actually put a discussion paper out about coding and robotics. Just talking about predicting where this will be in education, and they're saying that in every Queensland school by 2020, we're going to have robotics and coding. And this has actually been shown with the new digital technologies curriculum that's been implemented next year. Every school's got it implemented next year, and robotics are down in the grade 2 area. So they go all the way through schooling.
Grade 2.
Wow.
What's the language that is actually used in robotics?
Well, with the Lego ones that we use in primary school, it's very much a visual programming language.
Okay.
So they're actually seeing little pictures that they're actually putting in sequence in there. As they move through into high school, they start working with the Robot C and LabVIEW, which are actually using the coding language itself.
Okay. So I know a lot of the schools are now starting to use that Arduino for high school for programming, and which is basically the next step up from robotics.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's a lot of electronics, all those sort of things coming into schools now, and it's exciting. It's sort of very engaging with
there's
kids.
There's a lot of technology now that, it's amazing.
So much so. I mean, it's part of our world, so we've got to get kids involved in this.
Oh, so much so. It's just mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling for us.
Yes, indeed. For the grey heads.
Playing with marbles, that's cool.
And again, it's lots of fun for the kids too. I mean, that's the big thing. Try to engage kids into learning and doing this. It just gets that fun aspect of science and maths.
Will the Department of Education eventually put this into the curriculum as a subject,
A lot of schools are putting in, as I said before, that digital technologies curriculum that schools have got to implement next year. So the teachers are teaching it from primary school all the way up.
Okay.
And so it is, and we're getting the robot club set up at schools already. Excellent. But now it's going to be implemented into the classes.
Properly.
Oh, that's
definitely.
It.
Classes, that's what it has to be.
We often chat about that robotics and the coding side is the new second language. Mm-hmm. You know, don't worry about going down French, German and learning those
Those
languages.
Are important
They
still.
Are important. But I can get a Google app that translates for me.
I was in China a week ago and I actually had an app that we look at the Chinese characters and convert them straight into English just on the screen.
Isn't it fascinating?
It's amazing.
And someone was telling me that you can get the little headset so when people talk to you it'll translate. So,
it's amazing,
hey, we need coders to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. We need thinkers, innovators.
We do. And I love that. Even as you said with the visual basic programming, if that's the right term, kids still have to problem solve. They still have to do that computational thinking and put a process in place and then test and then go, hey, it doesn't work. But that's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. I'm going to have some fun. Going to work out why it doesn't work.
Right. Yep. You know? It's problem solving.
When I was in the school in the 70s, the strategy was, doesn't work. Give up.
I was going to say that's another thing that this robots is very good in school for. It's that frustration factor and getting kids to work through that and building their resilience up a lot. You know, they want to keep working on their robot to make it work.
Mm.
And there are failures. There are, you know, disappointments with that, but it's the fact that they keep going with it until they actually get the program to do what they want them to do.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And that's what we've got to learn, that there is no right way to get there. Mm-hmm. Many, many ways, and along the way you'll fail. One of the best ones I saw was I was down at the interview coming up with Catherine. I was down there recording it, and she showed me a YouTube clip of a young kid, probably 10 or 11, and I can't think of me because I'm getting way too old. It's where you develop the machine, or you develop build a machine to take as many steps as you can to complete a simple task. And if I knew that answer, I just can't think what it is. And this kid...
Rule Goldberg.
That's it, yes. And this kid had it all over his room, just to lower down a little trap to go over, like mousetrap, basically. Yep. But he set up his hypothesis that he would have to do this at least 15 or 20 times before he got it to work once and to reset. And he got it in the third time. But he was so happy. But that's that understanding that failure is part of the process.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, again, go back to the 70s, get it wrong, out with your hand, here's the cane. you know, it's just crazy. Okay, Chrissy, I said that you're, Dr. Chalmers, I said that you're one of the world leaders in robotics, and you are. You're invited to speak around the globe. What I'd love to have a quick run through for the audience side of things is just some of the exciting and interesting projects that you are involved in.
Okay, well, I'm involved in quite a number of projects, as you know. Some of them are just smaller projects with teachers and schools. And the other ones I've been involved with actually involve many schools. One of them is a robotics social club project. This is where I work with Brisbane Catholic Education and the Autism Research Centre. What we found is students are more willing to collaborate and work together when they're doing some interesting things with robots. As we said before, they're more persistent with those. And it's a way that we can introduce group skills to students so that they work together to be successful with the robot projects. Another one I'm involved with down in South Australia is working with the Association of Independent Schools down there. And we've also got other researchers from different universities involved in that one. And we're actually looking at humanoid robots.
Humanoid robots. I mean, I love robotics, but I think we've got a mindset around humanoid robots.
Yeah.
You know, they're so cool looking.
Well, that's what we found too. It's the human part of the robot that makes it different for kids as well. They're actually engaging with it as though it's another classmate.
Wow.
And so they're learning to code with this lovely robot,
yep.
Making it almost like a little sibling, so they can actually teach it and help it learn things.
At least you can unplug him. You don't like him.
And you don't have to share,
no.
Technically.
I was going to say, they are a little bit more expensive, so we do share those. They shared amongst the Association of Independent Schools.
Wow.
Very good. Amazing. Very good. All right, well, we might just quickly leave that there for a sec. We'll come back with one final question for Chris to talk about the first LEGO League competition, which is exciting. But, Carlos, I think we have to go and play some sponsors. Are we up to sponsors?
Sure, I can find some sponsors here to play.
You can keep doing that. I like putting the man on the spot.
Oh, goodness me.
But also, while we're just waiting for that, Carlos, tell us when we get cut off. We've got the robotics at QUT project. Chris, this is her passion, so we'll quickly run through that for a minute and then we'll go to our sponsors.
Definitely. This is run out of our Caboolture campus at QUT. It's supported by the Faculty of Education and QUT Equity Services. And we're actually working with 50 schools around this area.
Wow.
And the aim of our program is just to help build teacher capacity to teach this exciting field, and also to build aspirations of kids in this area to sort of think about going to university and further studies, especially in the math, science, technology
yes.
areas. We all talk about STEM, but
that's
how do we engage kids in this?
And that is mind-blowing. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Chris. We'll come back with FLL, but just a few words from our sponsors at Bridge 99.7. This is
99.7 Bridge FM, playing my type of music.
99.7 Bridge FM, connecting communities.
And welcome back to Education 2.1. I'm Wayne and I'm with Carlos.
Yes, I'm here.
Yep, he is indeed. And you're on Bridge 99.7 FM. And we've got Dr. Christina Chalmers in the studio from QUT at Kelvin Grove. Chris is the, well, many things, but she's just going to wrap up her session here talking about an exciting project. It's called FLL, and I'll let Chris explain. And keep the dates in mind, people. You have an opportunity to come along and be involved. Well, to watch.
Definitely. Okay, FLL actually stands for First LEGO League. It's the world's biggest robotics competition. There's actually 28,000 teams from over 80 countries involved, and 40 teams from around this area, from our schools around this area, from 24 schools competing. So we've got some amazing kids aged 9 to 16. On the 26th of November, we're having a tournament at the Caboolture campus, and we're opening up to the public as well. So we'd all love your listeners to come along.
It is fantastic.
First, it's actually the third time we've had it at Caboolture, even though it's called FIRST. FIRST actually stands for the Recognition and Inspiration of Science and Technology. So we're trying to inspire kids into thinking about this, once again making it fun and engaging for them.
It is. It's a very, very interesting project. Just quickly run through what they actually do, Chris, because it's just not turn up. It's a pretty couple of months of intense stuff that goes on.
It is. They have about 10 weeks from when the challenge gets released to when they actually have to compete. The challenge this year is on animal allies, with animals. We get a lot of kids engaged in that as well. So they've actually got to solve a real-world problem, and they present a project based on that problem around animals. They actually use the autonomous robot to also solve missions on a big table that's all around the animal allies as well. So you see missions with little animals on this big robotics table that they develop. We also judge them on their teamwork skills as well to see how they've actually worked well as a team together.
Oh, good. I think anybody out there, jump on YouTube, put in FLL, doesn't matter which country
robotics.
You go to, you will just see an amazing thing. They have a two-minute time frame with their autonomous robot?
2.5 minutes.
Two and a half minutes, and they've got to solve they've got to get their robot to lift things, move things, drag, drive, you name it.
They have to do verbal presentations in front of the judges as well. So that's something that not everyone can do.
Oh, and it's a skill set.
Even grown-ups.
You know, I'm teaching my marketing students how to get up and talk in front of people. Yeah. And like you're going in to do client pitches in your real world when you get a career. So it's a skill set that you really need to do. Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for coming in and talking and sharing all your knowledge.